In today's psalm, the psalmist exclaims, I kept the faith even when I am greatly afflicted. Who among us hasn't been greatly afflicted by the awful series of events, the escalation of violence, a violence that is not merely at a distance, but increasingly encroaches upon us, that causes such instability and anxiety and fear and worry among us and among the younger generation? And being upset over misfortune, over affliction, it doesn't imply a lack of faith. So the psalmist teaches us. Keeping the faith even when I'm greatly afflicted. Keeping the faith means taking to heart what the heavenly voice says in the gospel, listen to Jesus. Jesus' supreme command that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, to put others before ourselves. Others' afflictions, others' griefs, others' worries, others' fears before our own afflictions and worries and grief and fear. Many of the events, the recent events, have led me in prayerful reflection to consider how I learned to keep the faith when greatly afflicted, and I did so at home. My parents made the teachings of Christ the family standard, and they didn't do it with bullhorns or bumper stickers or signs. They simply sought to live the faith. My parents didn't tolerate bad behavior from their kids. They just didn't. Believe me, it wasn't that I was virtuous or my brothers were virtuous or my sister was virtuous, as much as we knew with certainty that bad behavior would not go unnoticed. It wouldn't go unspoken. It would not go uncorrected. I grew up in an occupation zone. My parents occupied my life. They knew where I was supposed to be, and they knew with whom I was supposed to be, always. Curfew was set, and curfew was enforced. I missed it once. And if they had gone to bed, as in our later teenage years, if they had gone to bed when we arrived home before curfew, we were always to wake them up and to let them know we were home. It never occurred to us not to do that. Boundaries were crystal clear. And why? Not merely because they set them, but because they lived them. My parents spoke and acted as one. And for sure, it's a great advantage when there are two on the same page. They set the house rules, and they made us respect them. Certain tones, certain words, certain violation of rules absolutely were not permitted. While certain things were ours, our room, which I always shared with my brothers, our dresser drawers, our clothes, there was nothing they could not and would not inspect. And it never occurred to us that we could resist their inspection. Now, I fully admit that phones and technologies have changed dramatically. You know, the phone in the kitchen pretty much was it. But what I recall is that secret conversations were never allowed. And they saw to that. Yes, there was an appropriate privacy, but never secrecy. They taught us that. Parents, I'm just exhorting you to know your children, to know their interests, to know their dreams, to know their afflictions, to know their actions, to know their whereabouts, to know their friends, and to know their parents' friends. Not merely to know about them, but to know them. Is it harder to parent today? Oh, you bet. And I have nothing but the highest admiration for those of you who have received the gift of children. You are absolutely up there in terms of those who I most admire, because yours is a mission and a task that is absolutely vital. Yours is one that stands to shape and to change lives. And there's lots of ungodly pressures threatening you every day. And I hold you in highest esteem. And for those who are doing it alone, I champion you and marvel at who you dare to be as mother or father. Harder today makes it all the more urgent to dig in and to bear down, to shape your child and to shape your home and to not have it hijacked by un-Christian forces. And friends, we're all about the same thing. We're all about keeping the faith and keeping the faith even when greatly afflicted. I'm thinking of the relinquishment practices, and I'm thinking here particularly of the second of the four steps. Placing the situation, meaning the worry, the fear, the anxiety, placing the situation into God's hands. That doesn't mean that I somehow am free from responsibility when I do that as parent or as community. But I'm expected to work with God, but I'm entrusting the situation to God's leading power. Not waiting for it to sort of magically happen, but with faith in my affliction and worry, placing it all in God's hands. Keeping the faith and doing so even when greatly afflicted. You know, our kids deserve as much. And they need it from us. And for those of us who are not biological parents, to support those who are, to encourage the faith being kept, Christ as standard bearer, supporting and encouraging, not always waiting to be asked, but recognizing and responding in love in others' needs, being greater than our own. Keeping Christ at the center of our lives, in our homes, in our work, in our leisure, and in our daily living.